I invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And we'll be starting our reading this morning in verse 12. Philippians, chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Back in 2012, a University of Oregon runner by the name of Tengwai Pepio, he lost a race in a very unusual way. As he was on the final stretch of the race at the Pepsi Invitational, where Washington and Oregon and Kentucky were all competing, on that final stretch, he began to slow down and to begin taking a victory lap, waving to the crowd before he crossed the finish line. And as he is in this mode of slowing down and celebrating, Maron Simon, a runner from Washington University, came charging up beside Pepio. And in a photo finish, as Pepio begins to hear the crowd cheering and he realizes that somebody's coming up upon him, he loses that race by a tenth of a second. What a way to lose a race. You begin to celebrate a victory lap before you actually finish. You quit before you cross the finish line. You begin to slack up and to slow down, and you don't give it all that you have to cross the finish line running as someone who's trying to win the race. In the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning and carrying over to next week, the Apostle Paul compares, he likens the Christian life to a race. And his instruction to the Philippians and to us this morning through this text is that all of us are runners in a race, and we are to run hard after Jesus all the way to the finish line. We're in this race, and we are to run with all that we have to cross the finish line and to finish strong. If you look in the text, twice in verse 12 and in verse 14, Paul uses the verb, he says, I press on in verse 12. Then in verse 14, he says, I press on. This word to press on, it means to hasten towards a certain object. It means to run. It means to press on and to move rapidly in a decisive way towards an object. Paul's telling us that the Christian life is like a race. And each Christian is like a runner. And that we, as Paul, we're to have this convictional attitude that we are hotly pursuing Jesus Christ with everything that we have. Paul puts it in verse 14. He's pressing on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's thinking. God has called himself to called Paul to himself through a relationship with Jesus. It's an upward call. It was a call from heaven, and Paul's ultimate destination will one day be in heaven. He's already told us in verses 10 and 11 that he wants nothing more than to know Jesus and to be conformed to his image as much as possible. And he is looking forward to that day of resurrection, the completion of his salvation, when he will know Jesus perfectly and be conformed to Jesus perfectly. And so here's Paul's logic in telling us that we're in a race and we're to run hard after Jesus. If God's ultimate goal for us is to be in heaven with him one day, totally conformed to Christ's likeness, becoming like him, and to know Jesus as best as we possibly ever will, then on this side of heaven, we should be running, pursuing, pressing on with that goal in this life, to see that realized as much as possible before we get there. We are to run hard after Jesus, all the way to the end of the race, all the way to the end of our race, that we might know him and be conformed to him as much as possible this side of heaven. So what does that look like for us to run hard after Jesus? Well, Paul gives us a strategy for running in these verses from 12 to 21, which we're going to break up over the next two Sundays. He gives us this running plan, and we're going to talk about how can you run hard after Jesus all the way to the finish line? Let's look at the passage this morning. Let's read it, and then we will look at Paul's running strategy for finishing strong. In verse 12, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, in anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I've often told you, and I now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction and whose God is their appetite and whose glory is their shame and who has set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven." Notice, Paul sees the ultimate destination of being in heaven with God, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has to subject all things to himself. Father, thank you for this rich passage of Scripture. God, thank you that we get to study it this morning in freedom in this country. And I'm praying that we will all have hearts that are teachable. God, we want to finish our race strong. We want to run hard after Jesus so that we can cross that line having given it our best. Will you help us? Will you teach us? Will you, Holy Spirit, will you convict? Will you draw? Will you perform the work that God wants in our hearts this morning? And we ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul wants us to run hard after Jesus all the way to the end of our race. What is our running strategy to make that possible in our lives? What does that look like for us? Well, first of all, if we're going to run hard after Jesus, we need to do what Paul himself did in verses 12 through 13. We need to humbly admit that we've not yet arrived. We need to humbly admit that we've not yet arrived. Look at what Paul says again in verses 12 and 13. He's humble here. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect." Look down in verse 13. "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet." So what's Paul talking about here when he says he's not obtained it? He's not laid hold of it yet. Go back to verses 10 and 11. This was Paul's purpose while he was telling us how we're so rich in Christ Jesus. We've been justified. We're being sanctified. And one day we'll be glorified. Look at what Paul says his goal was in his relationship with God through Christ, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul's desire was to know as much about Jesus as possible. And he was desiring in his heart to become like Jesus in attitude and in speech and in thinking and in desires, in all of living, to look so much like Jesus as possible this side of heaven. Paul's longing for the completion of his salvation. But look at what Paul says so that the Philippians do not misunderstand what he's just written. He says he's not yet obtained it. He's not yet taken hold of that. He says he's not yet perfect. He has not experienced that completion in his own life. And this is what Paul's telling us as he was telling the Philippians. God wasn't finished with him yet. God still had a work that he was doing in Paul's life. He had not yet arrived at this perfect knowledge and conformity to Christ. Do you remember when you were in grade school? I know I had these thoughts. Early on, I just did not enjoy school. And I remember thinking ahead, I could not wait until the day that I was going to be a senior in high school so that I could finally graduate and just be done with school. And I would be done as a student. Little did I know back then that God would have me in school 17 years after that, for 17 straight years. I mean, I'm thankful for the things God doesn't tell us in advance sometimes. But I came across a story that ABC News featured back in 2012. It was concerning a man by the name of Michael Nicholson. He was from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Now get this, back in 2012, Mr. Nicholson had already earned 29 degrees. 29 degrees. He was currently working on his 30th. In the interview, his goal was to achieve 34 degrees. And then if he was still living in his 80s, his pursuit then would be any kind of degree that he wanted to work towards. He was constantly in school. One of his professors, Professor Tom Carey, said of Mr. Nicholson, he said, he's the ultimate lifelong learner. He said, I marvel at his tenacity to go to school. Now, students, I do not recommend that you go to university until you're 80 years old. I know your parents are thinking, oh, God forbid that would ever happen. You ought to see what it's cost us just to get this bachelor's and master's degree they're working on. So I don't recommend that, but I do recommend that we have that same attitude spiritually that Mr. Nicholson has, that he always saw himself as someone who was a student who had more to learn. You see, as pupils, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we should never get this attitude that I'm going to graduate this side of heaven from the University of Jesus Christ. You see, because that's a wrong attitude. Paul himself said, and I guarantee you none of us are where Paul was at in his spiritual life. And Paul said, hey, I've not yet arrived. I've still got more to learn, more to do. There's more conformity that must take place in my life. We all need this humble attitude. If we're going to run hard after Jesus, we cannot be convinced in our hearts that we've already reached it. Or guess what? We're not going to run hard. We're not going to strive after that finish line. We all need to have this attitude that I am nowhere yet where I need to be. There is still more that needs to be done in my heart. Still more for me to learn. Still more for me to mature in and improve in and grow in knowledge and conformity to Christ. And so look at what Paul says. He said, I've not yet become perfect in verse 12, but I press on. I run hard. I hasten so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This seems to be the imagery Paul has. When he got saved, Jesus Christ laid hold of him. And now this side of heaven, Paul is running so that he can lay hold of Jesus Christ as much as he can before he actually sees him. He wants to have that kind of grip on Jesus and understanding and in life transformation. We need to this morning just always have this humble heart where we're willing to go to God and say, God, I've got a ways to go. I really do. I've got a lot in my heart. You know me better than anyone else, and you know I've got a ways to go. And I want you to help me to run hard after Jesus so that when I finally do see Jesus and I embrace him, I will be embracing the one that my heart was desiring to embrace with all my heart before I met him. So if we want to run hard after Jesus, the first way we're going to make that possible, our running strategy, is by humbly admitting we've not yet arrived. There's a second discipline Paul gives us for running hard after Jesus in verses 13 and 14. Not only must we admit that we've not yet arrived, but number two, we must maintain a future focus. We run hard after Jesus by maintaining a future focus. Paul does something here. He did something in his life, and he tells us something that we need to adopt if we're going to run hard. Look at what he says in verse 13. Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Continuing with this race analogy, Paul tells us that if you're going to run in a race effectively, you can't be a runner who keeps turning his head to look behind him or her. You can't be this runner who keeps looking back. Do you know what you describe a runner who keeps looking back and turning his head to the past or turning her head to the past? You call that person a distracted runner. Something else has got his or her attention rather than what God has for them in the future. The Christian who wants to run hard after Jesus is going to have to do what Paul says here. Look again in verse 13. We're going to have to forget what lies behind. And we're going to have to reach forward to what lies ahead. This word forgetting here, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're able to erase from our memories the things of the past. But it refers to a person who's not going to allow what is in the past to come to their mind and to stay there. They're not going to be fixated on the things of the past. They're going to do their best to put that out of their mind and to disregard what was in the past. Paul had a past, some of it good and some of it was bad. But Paul said, the way I'm running after Christ, I'm not going to allow my past to become that thing that my mind concentrates on, because when we do that, it distracts us from having this future forward focus, which is necessary for running our race all the way to the end. So what's Paul talking about here in his own life? Well, Paul, we noticed a couple of weeks ago in verses 4-6 that Paul had some natural advantages. Paul had some things that he was priding himself on from birth that he used to put confidence in. And Paul says, I'm not going to let those past things I used to trust in come into my mind and be things that I trust in the present. He also had some accomplishments. Paul did some really good things. He had chosen a certain pathway which had elevated him in the ranks of all of his brothers during that day in his community. And he was choosing the most strictest way of following the law that God had given. But Paul says, I'm not going to allow those things that I accomplished or those things I inherited from birth to keep me from my future focus. But Paul also had some bad things. He had some sins. Remember, he talked about his zeal for the law was such that he persecuted the church of God. And we talked about some of the atrocious things that Paul did in being an opponent of Christians in the gospel. But Paul was not going to look back and let those sins of the past keep him from that forward focus and running hard after Jesus. Like Paul, in this room this morning, we've all got a past. We've got some good things in our past, and we've got some bad things in our past. If we don't forget the past, it's going to hinder our forward progress in running after Jesus. I went to the gym yesterday. I got out of my truck. I parked up front close to the entrance, and as I'm walking down the sidewalk and I'm getting close to the entrance, to my right, I heard somebody in a vehicle behind me, so I turned around to look to see what was happening, and as I was walking, I turned my head just immediately in enough time not to run into this huge brick column. I mean, that would have been a sight. I mean, I would have come this morning with a busted up face. Do you know what just immediately entered into my mind as that happened? I can't even walk looking backwards without getting into trouble. Much less can I run looking backwards. If you're going to do this, and I don't recommend you do it, but if you try it, get into a very open place, try running with your head looking backwards. Do you know what's going to happen? One, you can't run confidently. Two, you can't run safely. Three, you definitely can't run quickly. If you're looking back, your body's not positioned in a way so that you can get the best force moving forward. And so Paul is using this analogy to help us spiritually, that if we're going to run hard after Jesus, guys, we've all got sin in our past. Can I get an amen this morning? We've all got sin, but God does not want us in this life, living life, where we keep looking back and remembering that awful thing we did that brought shame to ourselves, to our family, or to His name. Because if we do that, that sin's going to paralyze us. And we're not going to be able to run hard after Jesus. Why do we want to keep holding on to something that God's forgiven us of? You see, in Christ Jesus, God doesn't forgive us of some of our sins, but He forgives us of all of our sins. So don't let past sins keep you from running hard after Jesus. Don't let past failures discourage you from running hard after Jesus. Yes, you tried something, it didn't work out. Well, guess what? God's got other things right now moving forward that He wants you to do. Don't let past failures. And here's another one. Don't let past successes hinder you from running hard after Jesus. You know, one of the problems that some Christians get caught up in is they like to talk about the good old days. The good old days. And it becomes an excuse for us while we're not doing anything in the present. Those things that God did in the past, awesome. Praise God for them. But listen, God's got things for us to do in the present. And have we ever thought that maybe those good old days were not maybe as good as we think they were, and they just seem to be so good because we're not doing any good in the present? You see, God wants us to run, not with our eyes fixated on the past, but forward looking, because He's got good works for us to do in the present. But Pastor Donald, you don't understand. I've read my Bible all my life. I've even memorized the book of 1 John. Praise God you've read your Bible all those days and memorized 1 John. Do you know what? You need to continue to read the Bible the rest of the days you've got. You've got 65 other books you can memorize. But Pastor Donald, you don't understand. I did visitation back in the 80s and the 90s. I went and I knocked on doors and I shared the gospel. Thank God for what you did back then. But what about the 18 million people in Texas that don't know the name of Jesus Christ? Do they not also need to hear about His name? Do you not also love them and care about them? What happened where you had passion back then, but you don't have that passion today? Pastor Donald, you don't understand. I came out of a life of great addiction, and I've overcome so much. Praise God that you've been able to put those sins to death. But what about those sins that you're not willing to deal with? What about that gossip that stirs up in your heart? Do you really want to meet Jesus with that kind of a mouth? See, Paul is telling us that if we're going to make that forward progress and we're going to run hard after Jesus to know Him and to grow in Him this side of heaven, then we've got to forget what's behind us. We've got to keep our head forward. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us this. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And listen to this, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus is before us, the author and perfecter of our faith. So if we're going to run hard after Jesus, we forget what lies behind, and look at what Paul says the solution is, and we reach forward to what lies ahead. This word to reach forward, it describes someone exerting himself to the uttermost, someone who's stretching out, and someone who's straining. A couple of years ago, Jim Harbaugh, he is the football coach for the University of Michigan. He had his 8 fastest guys line up at the end of the field. And he had them run a 200-yard race all the way to the end and all the way back. In that race, it came down to 2 men, and you can watch this on YouTube. The 2 guys, David Long and Chris Evans, they were neck to neck. Even in a photo finish, it's hard to definitively tell whether Long or Evans won the race. But it looks like Long actually beat Evans by a cleat. But if you were to watch this race, these guys, they're straining, they're leaning forward, they're giving everything they have in that race to cross that line first. That's the imagery of this word that Paul uses, reaching forward, that we're not slacking up, we're not taking it easy, but we can say that we're giving Jesus our best in the race that He's put us in. If we're going to run hard after Jesus. It can't be a half-hearted effort. We've got to have this give it all, this goal of crossing that finish line to know the completion of our salvation in Christ and conformity to Him. Let me ask you this morning, are you a distracted runner? Are you a distracted runner in your race? Do you keep looking back to those sins or those past failures or those past successes and they're hindering you in the present? Will you spend some time with Jesus this morning just talking to Him and telling Him that you need Him to help you not be distracted anymore? And you need to leave those things of the past in the past, knowing that today is an adventure that Jesus has for you in following after Him. Are you striving this morning for Jesus with all your might? To know the power of the Holy Spirit working in and all the things that God is using in sufferings to conform you into His likeness. Could you tell Jesus, if you were to meet Him today, I was running with everything I had after You to know You and to be like You? Maybe we all need to just have a prayer this morning as this message comes to a conclusion, just to say, Jesus, I've not been running hard after You. There have been things in my life from the past and even the present that have been hang-ups in my life. And this morning, in the best way I know how, I want to finish well, and I need You to help me pick it up so I can run this race strong all the way to the finish. If we'll pray that kind of a prayer, God will be so pleased with us. God will help us to become undistracted runners. So how do we run hard after Jesus to end our race well, knowing Him and becoming like Him? One, by humbly admitting we've not yet arrived. Number two, by maintaining that future focus, looking ahead. And then last of all this morning, in verse 15, by asking God to change our hearts. Look at what Paul says. I find this so interesting. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. The word perfect that Paul uses here, he's talking to those who are mature in this congregation in Philippi. Those Christians who are walking in step with the Spirit of God. And this is essentially what Paul is saying when he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, those mature Christians, the truth is in churches we have mature believers and we have immature believers. We're all at a different place in the progress we're making. That's just a reality. But Paul's speaking to the mature ones. He says, if you're walking in line with the Spirit, have this attitude. What I've just told you about pressing on with Christ, Paul's saying, this should be the opinion that you adopt for your own life. If the Spirit of God's leading you, this will be your attitude. You'll form this judgment, which I have just pinned to you, and I've encouraged you to have this kind of running attitude in pursuing hard after Jesus. This message is going to resonate with those who are walking in tune with the Spirit of God. But notice what he also says. And if in anything you have a different attitude, if there are some in the congregation who are thinking, well, you know, I've already arrived, or I've got things in my past that I can't forget, or I've already accomplished so much that there's not much more left for me to do. If there's any different attitude that would be contrary to this message that Paul has written, notice what Paul says, God will reveal that also to you. One commentator explains Paul's words this way. Paul is confident that God will lead them to the truth if their minds are open to His leading. And so this is a call for every Christian this morning in this room, everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ. If you take issue with Paul's words in pursuing after Jesus with all you've got to cross the finish line, when your race is over, having given it everything, Paul says you need to have prayer time with God, and you need to say, God, my heart's not where it needs to be, and I need You to change my heart. I'm opening my life up for You to remove what's false, the lies I've believed, and for You to plant the truth of Your word in my heart so that it will grow into obedience in my life, that the word of God will dwell richly in me. And the story that I opened with this morning concerning the runner Tanguy Pepio This is what Pepio said in an interview at the end of that race. Pepio said that he had learned from his failure to not finish that last lap strong. Quote, I saw Maron Simon on the screen, and I tried to pick it up, but he just got me on the line. I'm not proud of myself right now, but it's a good lesson for me, I think, not to do this in the future. Next time, I'll just run the whole final stretch, and I'll celebrate in the victory lap. Lakeland Baptist Church, Tingwai Pepio can say that he'll run another race because he gets to run more races. Scripture teaches us we don't get to run another race. We get one race, and we have to run this race well. There are no do-overs. If we don't do it right this side of heaven, God doesn't let us come back to do it better. The Spirit of God dwells within all of us who know Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God wants to glorify the Son of God. This morning, I am encouraging you to run hard after Jesus. Maintain that future focus. Have that humble spirit that admits you're not there yet. And humbly ask God to change your heart if you're struggling with this passage. Will you pick it up if you've been coasting? Will you give it more than what you've been giving it? Make more progress today as you leave this auditorium to serve Jesus, to grow in Jesus, to study the Word of God, to share the gospel, to know Him, and to become more like Him. And if you're here this morning and you're not in this race, you're pursuing something in this world that's not worth pursuing. What this text is calling you to do is to get in this race and to pursue Jesus with all your heart. God loves you. Jesus loved you, died on the cross for your sins, and He invites you this morning to turn from your sin and to trust Him and to become one of His students. And as you begin this lifelong journey of knowing Him and becoming like Him, would you please stand? Father, thank you for this passage this morning, which challenges our hearts to run hard after Jesus. God, there will be nothing more satisfying, nothing more delightful to our souls than to cross that finish line, having tried to embrace Jesus with all that we have, and to finally be resting in His arms, knowing that the greatest desire of our hearts has finally been realized. May that be true of every member of Lakeland Baptist Church. God, if there's someone here who needs to get in the race, will you call them to Christ this morning so their sins may be forgiven and that they might know Him in a personal way. And if anyone needs to place their membership at Lakeland Baptist Church, God, we invite them this morning to grow with us in the gospel. We love you, and we ask these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. What do you need to do? Will you please come?